Well, I thought I could just, since we're kind of settling our hearts and souls, and just kind of trying to create the atmosphere of prayer. Can you hear me in the back? Prayer and silence and peace and reflection. I thought I could maybe start off leading us in a prayer. Does that sound okay? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Jesus, as we gather here this beautiful winter evening, we thank you with all of our heart for this space of silence and prayer. We need it, Jesus. And we need you. Calm our hearts and allow us to rest. Jesus, with Mary by our side, we gather around your empty cradle, not yet filled with your precious little life, so that we can learn from her, our Blessed Mother, how to wait, and how to live life transitions with peace and with joy and surrender. Transitions in life are often accompanied by tension, anxiety, resistance, fear, sometimes sadness or irritability. And yet, our hearts long for so much more. Our hearts long for peace, for joy, and to be able to surrender. May you give us these gifts this evening as we lay down in your cradle, your empty cradle, our tension and anxiety, our fear, our resistance, our sadness, or whatever else we might have in our heart. You are not afraid of these. You are coming to rescue us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, Lauren and I actually want to thank you very much for the opportunity to be here, because I know that some of you in this room have to give talks sometimes or presentations, and it's actually a beautiful gift, because as you prepare for something, you learn so much, right? And you kind of turn over in your heart different thoughts or ideas that then end up helping you. So it's a gift for us to be able to do this. So thank you for inviting us to be here. And so I wanted to mention that when Lauren stands up to give her talk, there are a lot of questions about what is a consecrated woman? So we're gonna answer that question, but not just yet. Lauren's gonna explain it when she comes up. But what I will say is that we live in community. We have 10, we're an international group, but we have 10 communities around the United States. And one of them is my and Lauren's community in the Washington, D.C. area. We live in Bethesda. So we spent Thanksgiving together this year, which was really beautiful, and cooked our turkey together. And then on the Friday after Thanksgiving, we had a personal retreat. So one of the consecrated prepared some reflections for us, and then we all just kind of prayed on our own. So one of my favorite places in the whole world is the Basilica, the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. I don't know if any of you have been there, but I just love it. And each one has like their place, right, where they experience God. I could sit here, and Lauren knows this, and tell you stories upon stories of everything that has happened to me there. Amazing. Like, just every time I go there, like, something beautiful happens. So it's my place to encounter God. So I decided for my personal retreat that I was going to go there and pray. So I drove there really early in the morning, and I parked in the parking lot, and then I was walking up there's like the side road that goes up to the basilica, and then there's like the towering basilica there. And as I was walking up, I had this little jacket on that I hadn't worn yet this winter, and it had buttons, you know, like two pockets with buttons. So for whatever reason, I never really opened these pockets, but for whatever reason, when I was walking up that hill, I opened up the pocket, and I found three notes inside the pocket. And I brought the little notes with me here so I could share them with you. I don't know how these notes got in my pocket. They're written in three different handwritings. So they're from three different people. They're not my handwriting. So I'm guessing I must have worn this to some event and whatever. I really don't remember, but somehow they got in my pocket. So as I was walking up, my heart was a bit troubled because I just have a couple of pretty like difficult things happening in my family right now. And so, you know, I had that in my heart. And it's not that I thought that I was going to go pray about these troubles that I was having, but it was just, that's where my heart was, right? So I pulled out the little notes, and the first note says, "I am always with you." So I was just, oh my goodness. I just felt like I'm walking, and I'm sure you all have experienced God in different ways, but you know that, those experiences where it's almost like you're caught and there's silence around you, and he's like, wait a second. He's like saying this to me, like right now, I'm always with you. And the second note says, persevere with patience. I know, I'm not going to cry like reading these notes to you. Okay, then the third note said, let in. So I just felt so encountered by God, and I hadn't even begun my retreat yet. I'm like, wow. So I think what I felt when I took out that first note and I read it, they were like folded together. I just thought like, he sees me. He really sees me, and he really knows my heart. And how is it that he just decided to speak to me through these little notes? So then, I won't tell you about my whole retreat, but I had a beautiful retreat. I was there for a long time. And then I ended up going to confession. And this priest, God really spoke through the priest. So I was like pondering these things. I am always with you. Persevere with patience and let in. And one of the little bit of a challenging thing that I'm going through right now happens to be with my mother. And she's getting older, and there's a bit of a role reversal, right? Where she used to take care of me, and now I'm taking care of her. And there's, of course, part of my heart that loves that. But then part of my heart that's like, no, I'm your daughter. Like, I want you to take care of me. And just experiencing kind of the limitations, her limitations, right? So anyways, when I was in confession, I don't remember all the sins I was confessing, but I was confessing something about this. And I don't know if it was like that I'm fighting a little bit inside, like a resentment because of this situation. And so Father went on to tell me, he's like, when you get to heaven, each one of us, male, female, outdoor, you're going to be wearing a wedding garment. And he said, your wedding garment, the material that it's made out of, the material is going to be love. But he said, the most beautiful wedding garments are the ones that are made out of unconditional love. Not just love. There's a big difference between love and unconditional love. Sorry, is this like going in and out a bit? It's okay? Okay. It was just funny because even in the confessional, when he's talking about this unconditional love and this garment, that's the one I want. I don't want just a garment made of love. Like, I want the unconditional love one. But then I'm like, people were popping into my mind, and it was like almost like I started to sin when I'm in confession. You know? I cannot
love
that person unconditionally. It's like so hard. Like, some people I can love unconditionally. Oh, but not that person and that person. So hard. And then he just went on to kind of talk to me about these things. And it's like, think about everything. He's like, how old are you? Think about all of the little acts of love your mom did for you your whole life. The ones that you saw. All the ones that you saw. What about all the ones that you never saw and you will never see? Imagine. So he just kind of started to go into this, and it moved my heart. So sometimes this happens to us. I think this happens to Lauren too. Like, when we have to preach something, sometimes God allows you to experience something that is very connected to it. So I just thought, Jesus was helping me, teaching me to live this new, difficult, challenging life transition in this way, knowing that he is always with me, to persevere with patience and to let in. So that's what we're going to talk a lot about today, this evening. So I wanted to just kind of invite you to take a moment and just close your eyes and or whatever makes you feel comfortable, and let Jesus find you, and think about a difficult life transition that God is allowing you to experience right now. What is changing in your life right now? Or who is changing? Is a relationship changing? What was and now is not? Or what was not and now is? Have you lost something or someone? Are you starting something new? Are you trying to find your way? So as Jesus or the Holy Spirit reveals this particular life transition that you might need help with, maybe you have several, but maybe there's one that you really feel like I really need his help with that. Try to kind of hold that one this evening. And as we walk through these reflections, see how these ideas or these thoughts could apply to that particular life transition. So like I said, during times of transition, Jesus is actually with us. Because he's always with us, right? Not just during life transitions. He's always with us. So when I was walking up that hill pathway to the basilica, and I felt troubled inside, and I didn't feel like Jesus was with me, per se, he let me know through this note that he's always with me. So then I was thinking, because a little bit of the struggle that I'm having right now is this mother who used to care for me is not able to care for me in the same way, right? But I thought, because of this role reversal, but I thought, if Jesus is with me and he's always with me, isn't it okay that she's not with me in the same way that she was? Isn't it okay? Because I'm not alone. And that's why I want her to be with me, take care of me, so that I don't feel alone. But I'm actually not alone. Won't I just be okay if Jesus is with me? So as you think of your life transition right now, the one that the Holy Spirit placed on your heart, try to imagine, what would my life be walking through this transition if I felt Jesus find me through a little note like that? If he let me know in some way that he was always with me. Would that help me to live my life transition, that particular life transition, with more peace and joy? That was one of the effects when I found this note. I was like this, like, wave of peace kind of like washed over me. And even joy. And nothing has changed with the situation with my mom, other than Jesus letting me know that he was with me. So in life transition, it's so important to also think about and ask ourselves, what am I afraid of? And as you bring this life transition to your heart and mind, what are you afraid of with that? And I invite you, you know, maybe not now, but later this week or tomorrow, to write that down. Write down your fears. What am I afraid of? And if I knew, really, really, really knew, not just, you know, with my mind, but with my heart deep inside, that Jesus was always with me, wouldn't I feel safe? Like, if we really know he's with us and feel him, we can't be with him and not feel safe. We can't be with him and not feel love. We can't really feel alone if we're experiencing him with us. So he makes us feel safe and loved. So then moving on to the second idea, the difficult thing about life transitions is sometimes they last a long time, longer than we want them to, normally. And this whole, like, idea of persevering with patience can be so challenging. We just want to get through it. We want it to be resolved. Lauren and I were talking about that the other day. We have, like, a couple of things in our community. We're like, we just want it resolved. Can we just get it resolved so we can move on to the next thing, right? But if we knew, and we really knew that he was with us and that we were not alone, would I be okay to kind of just let things keep unfolding? It's very hard just to let things unfold. We're just willful, right? So we want to, like, push it forward or stop it or change it, but to just let things unfold with Jesus, it can be very difficult. But if he is with me, and one thing I loved about this little note, and I know you can't see it, but it says, I'm always with you, and always was capitalized and, like, bigger. Always with me. So if he's always with me, it means that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And maybe some of you are thinking, well, Mary, you actually don't know my situation, and I don't see any light. And it's been a long time. And there might not be light at the end. And it was interesting because yesterday morning I was actually doing a spiritual direction with someone who doesn't live here, or, you know, it was over, like, Zoom. And, like, of everyone that I know, I think the situation with her daughter is probably in her 20s, it's probably the most difficult situation that I've ever, like, heard. And this mother, because I have guided her for years, she has laid down her life for her daughter, laid it down consistently for 2 decades. And she's struggling with some very deep things and her daughter, and it does not look like there's any light around. But it's not possible for there not to be light at the end of this tunnel if Jesus is with us and Jesus is with her. there is light. And maybe, maybe God will allow something to happen to her child that she does not want. But there will still be light. Because Jesus sees the suffering of that mother. And she is weighing graces and she is walking her child home to heaven, her real home. So with Jesus, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. And I love this analogy. I don't know if I've shared it with you before. But you know, with monkey bars, when you're little at school with the monkey bars, to go forward, you have to let go, right? You can't hold on. I mean, that's the whole thing. You've got to go. You've got to let go and then grab onto the next one, and then let go and grab onto the next one to go forward. That's kind of what perseverance is, right? Perseverance is being able to let go of what we need to let go of, but not just let go altogether. So like fall down on the cement, right? It's letting go with one hand and holding on with the other. So think of your life transition now that you need Jesus to help you with. And I'm thinking of the one with my mom, right? I ask myself, what do I need to let go of in order to live this life transition with more peace and with more joy? And then what do I need to hold on to? So if he is with me and there's light at the end of this tunnel and I'm on my monkey bars just going forward, I can keep going all the way till the end. And you know what this mother told me? She said, for years I have felt called to stand in this breach with my daughter. And I don't want to be in this place anymore. And I told her, I think you're going to stay there though. Because you love God so much and you love her so much. You're willing to stay there, aren't you? And she said, I am. Yep, I'm willing to stay there. For as long as God needs me to. So then finally, during life transitions, there are certain things that we need to let in, and then other things that we actually don't need to let in. And when I thought about that, the first thing that came to my mind actually was compassionate voices. Like during times of transition, we need to let in gentle voices, compassionate voices, not condemning ones or harsh ones. And I remember when my dad passed away, it was a bit sudden, and so everyone was like kind of in distress, you know, all my siblings and I and my family, and there's a lot of us, there's 9 of us. So all of this stuff was coming out of us, you know, because we were in pain. And there were like sometimes harsh words. But we needed to not let that in at the time. And sometimes harsh or condemning words can come from the outside in, you know, like from other people, or just the evil one trying to take away our joy and peace, which is what he's so like, he loves to do that. But a lot of times the harsh or condemning voice can be our own voice. things that we say to ourselves during that transition, things that aren't true, harsh things, you know. But Jesus' voice is never harsh, and it's never condemning. It's always gentle and compassionate. So during times of transition, it's like letting in compassion and gentleness, not letting in condemnation and harshness. And then another thing I thought of is during times of transition, it's so important to learn to receive from others and let others in by letting them help us. And this is something, it sounds so easy, but it's not actually easy. You know, it can be very hard to receive. And I remember, like, before, like, people would give me compliments or say these nice things to me or whatever, and I would just, I didn't know how to, like, just receive it. And I remember this lady said one time, Mary, just say, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Just say thank you. Just receive it. You know? And I was sharing with the ladies, because last night we were doing another Advent by Candlelight, and I was sharing with them how a couple of weeks ago, this woman from my Walking the Purpose team had a newborn baby, so we did a meal train for her. And I just learned so much from her because we all signed up, you know, to bring her a meal, and this was her fourth baby. And I was so excited because I got to be the second one to bring her food. And so I arrived at her house literally the day that she came home from the hospital. Okay, it was so awesome because her house was a mess. She had three little ones. One was crying, the other two were running around. She literally had her newborn in her hand. I don't know where the husband was. I'm like, where's the husband in all of this? Then he came up from the basement. No, he was doing something good down there. He was working hard. Then he came up to help with the kids. No, but I was laughing. It was so beautiful because, you know, she literally just, like, came home from the hospital 2 hours before that. And she's walking around with the baby, showing me things and showing where I could put the food. And she just was so receptive. Her house didn't have to be perfect. She didn't have to, like, have her hair done. She had the smile on her face. She was just grateful, and she just received. She let us give to her, and she was grateful. And it was such a gift to all of us. Everyone on our team was talking about it because she did the same thing with everyone. She let everyone into her home and into her heart. That was the thing. And we all felt so special and felt so loved. You know, we were there trying to love her. But she loved us by letting us in and letting us help her. So this morning, Lauren and I were staying the night at this beautiful woman's house who put on the Advent by Candlelight there in Connecticut, New York, that we went to. And so we were practicing this morning, and I thought, oh my gosh, you look so beautiful this morning. She's like, thank you, Mary. She's like, Mary, you have such beautiful hair. Thank you, Val. learning to, like, just receive. It seems so simple, but it's actually really hard. I promised, practice it for 1 week every day, and you're going to see how hard it is. But it's actually the most beautiful thing. It's such a gift. And we are made as women to be receptive. And when we're not living our identity. And we will not feel well. We will always feel better when we're living our feminine identity and when we're receiving from God and receiving from others. So that's something else that can help us to live life transitions. So as we just conclude here before we have some, you know, time of silence and just to listen to this beautiful music, we can make this prayer to Jesus. In times of transition, Jesus, find me. Find me for an old, crinkled note in my pocket. Whatever way you want to find me, come find me. In times of transition, let me know you know my heart. In times of transition, help me to know I'm not alone. I might feel like I'm alone, but I'm not alone. In times of transition, teach me to love unconditionally. Because that's the garment that I want to wear. I don't want a regular old love garment. I want an unconditional one. And then finally, Jesus, in times of transition, let me experience your love. I know it in my mind, but I need to experience it in my heart.